perfect. In Revelation 14, verses 1 through 5, we're going to read that this morning. We're going to kind of open this passage of Scripture up just a little bit deeper, because I believe that's what we're seeing as an example of Jesus receiving his faithful ones. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder, and I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these words, we just want you to unpack them for us a little bit more. And so, Lord, we're gonna look at other areas of Scripture to help us to better understand what's happening in this scene. We understand that these were people just like us, and so they weren't perfect. But what we see is that they were set apart for you. They didn't involve themselves in all the normal things of the world, these 144,000, because they had a special calling on their life for a special time. We have a special calling on our lives as well. So, Lord, as we live out our lives from day to day, help us to rest assured that you will give us what we need in the right time, and that we can live fully for you in the context that we are in. And whether if we are married, we have children, we are whatever our situation is, if we're unmarried, if we're raising children or on our own, whatever it may be, we know that you can meet us there and we can serve you with all our heart. And when the time comes, you're going to take care of us and you will receive us to yourself. But help us to see a little bit better in this scripture of this horrible tribulation time that these people are coming out of, and to see that you're faithful. If you're faithful to those who are coming out of a tribulation in the future, Lord, the great tribulation, one like the world has never seen, then you can most definitely be faithful to us now. So help us, Lord, to really place all of our faith and all of our trust in what you can do for us, what you have done for us, and what you're going to do for us. And so help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So as we look at this area of Scripture, I can just go off of this one if you'd rather. I don't know. For whatever reason, the lapel mic hasn't been doing really well here lately, but we'll just go off the pulpit mic. So as we look at this, we see in chapter 14, verse 1, them looking and behold the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. And many would say, well, this is like Jesus coming and starting his millennial reign, or just a prelude to the millennial reign. We know that that doesn't really happen until the end of the Great Tribulation, and we're not there yet. So why do we see him standing on Mount Zion at this moment? And I think we need to go back to chapter 7 to see who these 144,000 are, and then we can begin to see why he has come at this particular point in the tribulation. So back up to Revelation chapter 7, and we see, starting at verse 2 there, then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of a living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. And it goes through there and it talks about the 12,000 from each one, and that they were sent out to take the gospel to the world that is left behind after the rapture. And so there are going to be new people come to the Lord during the tribulation period. Now, I want you to imagine trying to be the 144,000 evangelists sent out into a tribulation like the world has never seen, to be the ones to take the gospel to the people who are on planet Earth during that time. Does it sound like a pretty heavy task? Like one, like none other, amen? So this is not like the time that we live in, that we are, you know, we see good and we see bad. We see things that are going in the right direction. We see things that are going in the wrong direction. We see a church that still exists, and at least in some levels, it's still flourishing, still taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. In fact, one of the churches in our association that we meet with on Fifth Sunday Sings, the First Baptist Bonterre, they're carrying Bibles in Kenya right now and training pastors there, their yearly trip to Kenya. Isn't that awesome that we can still do that? We can still go to areas of the world and be able to be evangelists and help train other evangelists who are going to stay behind and then come back home and continue our evangelism here and our outreach and our discipleship. But I want you to understand that during this time that it's speaking of right here, this is a time when the Antichrist has taken his place of power. This is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation that are like none other. In fact, we just read last week and taught on the fact that the false prophet then comes forward, and he's able to do like these false miracles and deceive people. There's a deception that's going out into the world during this time like the world has never seen. And yet these 144,000 were sent out to make disciples during that time. To take the gospel. Do you think that sounds like a pretty treacherous and hard ministry? We think ministry is hard today because we have a little opposition. But during this time, they would have great opposition. And yet, at this point in time, if we look at what's happening in chapter 13, then it's saying that if anyone will not worship the image of the beast, they are to be killed immediately. Immediate death. There in verses 15 and 16 of the chapter 4. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. So they would have the mark of the beast on them. The mark would probably be similar to whatever, you know, that 666, and it says to have wisdom to understand this. We're not sure exactly what that all means, but what we do know is if you didn't receive the mark, you couldn't buy or sell, you couldn't trade, and literally it would show that you're not worshiping the beast, and so that means you should be killed immediately, and that's going to be the culture and the treachery of that time. But you know, what I know is God is still faithful. He is faithful to his people. And so these 144,000, I am absolutely sure that he would be faithful to them during that time. Amen. And if we go back in time and we think about Stephen, the first recorded martyr in the book of Acts, we see something really special. He's being faithful during this time in Jerusalem. And you know, there's these that are hearing his message and they're not happy about it. In fact, we'll just pick it up there, Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 59. When they heard these things, the ones he was preaching to, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. You see, when we give the message, it's going to cut to the heart, right? I mean, one way or another, that means convicted. They were convicted. Have you ever been convicted by the message of the gospel in your own life? I remember whenever I first started being convicted, it didn't make me happy. In fact, it made me push back. It made me act out. It made me into, you know, the spirit of persecution came upon me to go after whoever was delivering that message to me. But there came a day whenever I was cut to the heart and it brought me to conviction, like, and then to repentance, like it did in Acts chapter 2 in the day of Pentecost. Praise God, that cut to the heart was a good cut to the heart. 3,000 people got saved that day. But here, this cut to the heart brings them to the point of being persecutors in verse 55, and because they would not repent. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God in Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Would that make it worthwhile at that point? Would it reassure you, hey, you're really doing it right? You get to see Jesus. Amen. Not only that, you get to see him standing at the right hand of the Father. Some people don't put any stock in that, but everywhere else that we hear about Jesus, it says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's standing up because of his child, his son is being faithful. He's getting ready to receive him. He's standing at the right hand of God, and he said, look, I see the heavens. This is Stephen talking. I see the heavens opened up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear it. Ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I want you to hear this in reality. This would be a hard place to be Stephen at this moment. Amen? That's not really the way I wish, you know, to go. That's not really the way I want people to respond whenever I preach the message. But, you know, even if they would respond in this way, even if I had to be a martyr, even if it came to that, I believe Jesus is faithful. And I believe that at that moment, he is faithful to stand up and receive his children. I watched a really ugly scene in our contemporary, you know, in our time, where ISIS was taking over in an area of the world over in the Middle East, and they had separated out for themselves 21 Christians that they martyred right in front of a camera. And they did it in such a way that they really wanted to make show of it, and they really wanted to show how their terrorism takes over. But you know what I saw? Were people that were not afraid because they knew Jesus. What I saw were people who were praying, and they were still witnessing to their captors, to their to the ones who were persecuting them, to their executioners, and they were calling them to repent and to turn their lives over to Jesus. And in their last words, there was something they wouldn't even play the sound whenever they played the video because they didn't want other people to hear what they were really saying. Those men were calling out to Jesus to receive them. They were calling out, Lord, help us be faithful to the end. They were not facing it with fear and just this terror that the terrorists were trying to put on them. And you know why? Because Jesus was with them in that moment. I don't have that within myself, and I can't guarantee you that I wouldn't be quaking in fear on my own, but I believe that if I ever had to come to that moment, Jesus would be with me. That is how I would face that moment. And the reason why I believe this is such an encouragement in this chapter 14 of Revelation is that even during the time of the tribulation, when the church has already been raptured out and there are these evangelists that are going around in a very treacherous time. Jesus is with them. Jesus, when it came time for them to come home, Jesus came and gathered them up and brought them to heaven. How exciting is that to know that our Jesus really is that faithful? You see, anyone not worshiping that image was killed, and so we know these guys would not have been worshiping the image. In fact, they wouldn't have had the mark of the beast on their forehead because it says here that they have the name of Jesus and of their God on their forehead. Amen? And so instead of the wicked name on their forehead, they have the name of their God on their forehead. These guys were totally set apart for God. And you know what? Jesus was totally committed to them. You know, when you commit your heart to Jesus, it's not just a one-way commitment there. Not only are you committed to him, but it's only because he was already first committed to you. Amen? And so this isn't a one-way transaction. This is a two-way transaction. And I'll tell you one thing for sure. You're going to fail sometimes, but Jesus will never fail you. And so praise God. No matter how many times you may feel like you failed, you keep getting up like the Bible says. A righteous man may fall seven times, but he will get up. You keep getting up and you keep going back to Jesus. And don't you ever think that he'll ever discard you, because that's not how he is. What we need to do is make sure we don't discard him or walk away from him. Because what we see is that Jesus appears at this special time with his special marked followers. The whole 144,000 are in his presence there. And I tell you what he's doing. He's taking them up. He has finally rescued these ones who were willing to be martyred for him. But I'm going to tell you, they will not be sorry that they stood faithful, because they have something very special in store for them. They learned a new song with angelic beings before the throne. You know, we know that he's taken them up because we're seeing the throne. And where is the throne at this point? It's in heaven. At this point that we're reading here, heaven hasn't come down to earth yet. That doesn't happen until the last chapter of Revelation. And so what we see is that Jesus coming to receive them, and the angels are already singing in heaven as they're going up. And you know what? It's a song that only they can learn. You know why only they can learn that? It's because they're being transported into heaven. And when we get there, we will get to learn it too. You see, we'll all get to be able to join that song in heaven. But praise God that he's faithful to receive his faithful ones. When we look there, in 14 verses 2 through 3, I heard that voice. I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. You know that voice of many waters? It's always said whenever Jesus speaks or whenever the Father speaks from heaven. That thunder being that power going out. And I can only imagine that voice might have been saying, "Well done, good and faithful servants. I'm here for you. Will you come to me?" And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne. So imagine this worship that's going on in heaven, and 144,000 are going to join. Before the four living creatures, remember we learned about those creatures earlier and where they are. They stay before the throne all the time. And the elders, we remember the 24 elders. Where were they? In heaven, around the throne. Amen? This is a depiction of them going up into heaven. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. The big thing about that was different about these guys, that was special about these guys, is they followed the Lamb wherever he went, wherever he goes. That's what they did. That's who they were. Guys, I can tell you, that's what God calls us to be as well. It may be that God caught me at a different point in time in my life. I was 30 before I came to Christ, had a lot of baggage behind me, but I'll tell you what, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at what's before me. I'm looking at what is God's call on my life now. And how do I adjust my life so that I can be in the center of his will now? You see, we have now and forward. The before is a testimony. That's a testimony for what God did and what he did to get me where I am. And now it's about what's he doing. Don't look back to see if you're saved. Look forward. Look at now. Because you see, if you're saved, then you're going to have a commitment to what he wants you to be about right now. And that was what made these guys who they were. These are the ones who were not defiled with women. Why would that be important? That's not saying that to have a wife is a bad thing, but at least in this point in time, the middle of the tribulation period, these guys weren't worried about having a wife and trying to raise a family in a time that is this wicked. It's the last, very, very of the last days. In fact, all they were concerned about was serving God the way he ordained them to. That's what their commitment was. That's where we need to be today, no matter where we are. Let's have a commitment to serve God from where we are. And these men started serving God from where they were. And they continued to serve him. And it says that these were the redeemed from among women, from among men. You see, these are ones who followed the Lamb wherever he went, wherever he goes. And they were redeemed from among men. That means they were bought back. They were the ones who were paid for by him. They were the ones who were set apart by him, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit. You see, they had a short period of time, and they stayed focused. Up to this point, they may have had 3.5 years of ministry, and then they were told, you either worship the beast now or you're dead. They chose death. Shouldn't we? You know, there's a whole lot of people that are trying to push us into a mold and say, you've got to accept this and you've got to accept that and don't call this sin. Oh, and that Bible, I don't know why you believe that. I mean, that's just an ancient old book. I'm just going to ask you, is the Bible truth? If we said yes, then that means we need to be willing to follow it. Amen? If it's truth, then it was truth then, and it's always been truth, and it's truth now. It didn't change. The world tried to change. It's always trying to change. You know why? Because the prince of the world is the devil. He's going to try to deceive. But you know what? We just need to be straightforward. In our mouth, there should be found no deceit. And this is the way these men lived even during that first 3.5 years of the tribulation, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Oh, that it might be said of us that once we stepped out to follow Jesus, that we, even when we messed up, we came back, we repented, and we continued forward, that we might finish well. Amen? Do you want to finish well? Some of you have got hopefully a longer race ahead of you, you know? You may have just started your race. Some of you are pretty young in the room. Praise God. You got a lot of time to serve God. Don't spend it in futility. Don't spend it chasing your tail. Get out there and start chasing God. Follow him wherever he goes. He's got a good plan. He'll keep you busy too. A good kind of busy. You'll be doing and going and being blessed in ways that you never could have imagined. Make good of it. For some of us, we're getting, you know, at least to the top of the hill. We're starting to go over the crest. You know what? I don't know how many years God has in store for me. We've never had a man in my family that I knew of that lived to 70, actually. So that sounds kind of daunting sometimes, but maybe I'll live a lot longer than him. Maybe I'll live to 90. Who knows? If I do, I want it to be with purpose. I don't want to just be sitting on my tail, feeling sorry for myself, doing what makes me feel good, or trying to, and it always getting thwarted. Amen? I want to be about God's business. I'm not sure what that looks like from day to day all the time, but I know it includes his word. I know it includes prayer. I know it includes thinking about others more than myself. I know that it includes, you know, asking God for direction. Some people think that the only direction that he gives is the Bible. It will always be consistent with the Bible. But from day to day, he does kind of show us how we implement that. And it can look a little different from day to day, but always consistent with the Word. We need to be seeking God. Show us the specifics for today and then do it. You see, there are more events to unfold in the book of Revelation, just like there's more events to unfold in our lives today, man. Praise God. You've got life ahead of you. You're here. I don't know if it's 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 month, or maybe 50 years. How about let's make a commitment today that we're going to chase after Jesus. We're going to follow him no matter where he goes. You may say, well, what does that mean wherever he goes? You know, Jesus is working around us all the time. All we got to do is look for evidence of it. And then we need to be there joining him in what he's doing. You know, part of that is coming to church. I think it's great for us to be here together, to be encouraged together, to get our marching orders together at the beginning of the week and go out from here. I think it's pretty awesome that we meet on the first day of the week as well, because, like, that's setting the tone for the rest of our week. Amen? You know, and for some of us, we need a midweek encouragement too. There's service here on Wednesday night. Coming Wednesday night. It's really a great service. It's a time we slow down, we talk a little more, we do Bible study, and then we pray. Man, that's the most powerful thing that we could ever do is to pray. You see, you're praying to one who can actually do far above anything you could ask or imagine. You see, when we do something, we can only do the natural. But whenever we get with God, then He can do the supernatural. And He can also help us to cooperate in that process. He can do more through us whenever we've been with Him. You know, that was said of the early church in the book of Acts. Said they knew that they weren't really super educated guys, but one thing they knew about those guys is they'd been with Jesus. That's really what, isn't that what you want people to say about you? You know, that person, they don't really seem to be all that spectacular on their own. But I'll tell you one thing I do know. They've been with Jesus. They belong to Him. You know, that's so much bigger compliment than for somebody to say, boy, that person's a really great person. Because you know what happens whenever they say that? Then we're going to let them down and they're going to be disappointed. But if they see Jesus in us and they start following Him, He won't disappoint them. Amen. You see, there's more events to unfold in this book before Jesus returns for His thousand-year reign. And you know, we need to remember there's more events to unfold in our lives as well. So let's not just sit and soak until we end up in heaven. Let's go and serve. Let's serve through the local church. Let's serve in cooperation with the local church. Let's serve Jesus and come back and tell the local church. Because you know what? Whenever you tell of what God's doing in your life, it encourages others to do the same. Man, I've seen some answered prayers the last couple weeks. It's been awesome to see it happen. I praise God. Continue to pray. The prayer ministry is the most important ministry of the church. And as we can see, you know, we see in the book of Revelation that at this point, it's not time for Jesus to return until chapter 19, verse 11 is when we're going to see Him actually return. It's not time for the great Babylon of the world to be destroyed. That's going to happen in just the following chapter, the following part of this chapter, start of it. It's not time for the Battle of Armageddon yet in the book of Revelation, but I want you to know Jesus is never late. He receives His faithful ones right on time, every time. Whenever it comes my time, I believe He'll be faithful. When it becomes your time, I believe He'll be faithful. Trust Him. Put it in His hands. Go forward. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, we can tell by the signs that it's getting near. I wouldn't argue with them. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening in the world right now, isn't it? It could be caused for us to be all stressed out, all anxious, unless we just go ahead and trust Jesus. How about that for an idea? Let's just trust Him. If this is the runway to the great tribulation, then get ready. Make sure you're His. Because I believe there will be a great tribulation, a great rapture right before the great tribulation. And you know what? He isn't going to call you up and warn you the day before, is He? He says, nobody knows the time or the hour. It's going to be like the twinkling of an eye. That's quicker than a blink. You just blink, that's all you. It's going to be quicker than that. I want you to think, it could be now. And I want you to ask, am I ready? Because if you're not ready, you got a hard way ahead of you. I pray that you still will come to Christ during that hard time. But why not just do it now? Then you know you're ready. Give your life to Christ all the way. Stop holding back. Stop thinking of all the things that you think, you know, I got to do this or I got to do that before I come to Christ. That isn't what He said. He said, today is the day of salvation. Now give your life to Him. This is the moment. What does it mean to give your life to Him? It means just lay it all on the altar. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I don't want to continue on in that. I can't stop on my own, so I need Your help, Lord Jesus. I'm going to put myself under Your lordship. And you know, some of those things you may continue to struggle with. Then you keep going back to him and you keep asking him for help. Amen. He's not going to forget you. And praise God, he says he won't reject you either. Just go to him. Maybe you need to go this morning for the 19th time about that one issue that you keep stumbling and do it again. That's my advice to you. Do it again. Keep doing it again till he helps you get it over it. Till he helps you get it under control. Keep doing it again. You know, many of you have noticed many services I've preached in this church. And I try to, whenever I walk down these steps after saying these words, I'm always convicted in my own heart that I need to look at my own life. That's why most Sundays you'll see me at the altar praying. Part of the time I'm praying for you. But I'll tell you, most of the time, of every one of those prayers, I'm praying for me. Because there's at least one thing in my life that I'm still dealing with that I need help with. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just something to repent of. So let's give our lives fully to Christ today. And let us remember Jesus receives his faithful ones right on time. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just thank you for just revealing to us through this little tidbit of this information. It's just a little blip. It's five verses in the book of Revelation of these 144 who were marked for you way back in chapter 7. This reminds us they were faithful.